We turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. We read simply from that chapter, verses 21 and 22. And then on into chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 21. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has been struck down." Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the fugitive came. And he had opened my mouth by the time the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened, and I was no longer mute. We go to chapter 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to seek, to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord God. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." And we end our reading at the close of that 12th verse. We pray that God will bless this passage as we look at it together in a few moments. I'd like us to focus our thoughts this morning from part of chapter 34 of Ezekiel, the 12th verse. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. Somewhat unusual message, because the first bit of it is going to be general introduction and setting us before us the book of Ezekiel and what's happening there. And then looking at the phrases in more detail. The man Ezekiel is among the first exiles who went to Babylon. The town of Jerusalem captured by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 BC. He seems to have been in his mid-20s when he was taken as an exile. 4 years later, he began to prophesy, and he kept prophesying for at least 20 years. He was ministering to people who were broken and battered in every imaginable way. It's a book with great sayings to our modern world and to our damaged people. The first part of his message was not encouraging. In spite of what a lot of his Jewish friends were saying, the exile would not be short. They said it will be. No, he says. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. In chapters 1 to 24, he deals with the judgment on Jerusalem. Then chapters 25 to 32, judgment of God on foreign nations. And then he settles us in chapter 33, verse 21, 586 BC. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has been struck down." For these years, he's been preaching judgment, wanting to alarm them, to stir them, to lead them to cry to God for mercy. Now, friends, he changes. From chapters 33 to 48, it is, on the whole, a message of great, great hope, of future restoration and mercy from a loving, caring God. So the first part of Ezekiel is God's anger, God's judgment against sin. And the last part is God's grace and God's mercy. And here he begins in chapter 34 with his prophecy against the shepherds, he calls them, of Israel. The shepherds. It was a word that at that time was used for kings or leaders or pastors. A common title throughout the Near East. Very often in different countries, the king was called a shepherd. And then he moves on to a wonderful, amazing hope. Verse 15, which we didn't read. "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, declares the Lord God." I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And don't we think of our beloved Savior in John 10:11? He has remembered this passage, and he says of himself, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's going to replace the bad shepherds. He himself is going to act as the king or the shepherd of his own people. That's a huge subject. But this morning I'd like us to focus in on one rather narrow element of it, but important. The seeking shepherd. The seeking shepherd. We could have looked at many aspects of the shepherd in this second part of the book. But I want us to think this morning of the seeking shepherd. Verse 12a. "As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep." As a shepherd seeks out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. This was the main failure of the kings of Judah. They had not done this. They had not cared for their sheep. They had not sought them. They were far more interested in themselves than in the sheep for whom they were meant to care. It came out, didn't it, again and again in the verses we were reading from chapter 34, verse 2. "Ah, the shepherds of Israel
who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed sheep? They weren't feeding the sheep. They were feeding themselves. Verses 4 to 6, powerful, frightening. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. None to search or seek for them. That's who they were. And God will be different. Verse 10. Behold, I myself will seek for my sheep, will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. Friends, let's pause just for a moment and remind ourselves that this is one way where the Christian religion is different from every other religion on the face of the earth in time or history. The Christian religion speaks of the loving initiative of God towards human beings. In all the others, the deity or the deities are passive. We can try to reach them. We can try to learn about them. We can listen to poems and plays about the gods in the heavens. But they remain indifferent to us. It's in the Bible alone that we meet the searching, seeking God. At the very beginning, Genesis 3:9, where are you? At the very beginning, God is seeking human beings. And at the end, Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, come. Isn't that wonderful? That's the whole aspect of the Bible from beginning to end. God seeking people. God looking for people. And friends, it's not as if God needs us. Paul says that in Acts 17:25. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. He's not served by human hands as though he needed anything. He lives in the perfect fellowship of the Trinity. The Father and the Son and the Spirit communicate with each other. They share with each other. They live with each other. They have this fellowship which forever and ever has been and will be perfect. It's not that God needs us. But friends, he has chosen to create us and to love us and to give us a place in his heart. He has chosen, he has decided to look for us in tender mercy. This is our God, seeking us, desiring our fellowship, active in bringing us to himself. John 4:23, the Father is seeking such people to worship him. The good shepherd who seeks. We should never forget that. But in the rest of the time, I'd like us to look at one aspect today. Why does the shepherd seek his sheep? Why does the shepherd seek his sheep? And I think that in the first part of verse 12, we can see three simple and to us rich reasons. Why, as a shepherd, I seek out my sheep? Why? Firstly, sheep are lost. Sheep are lost. Look at what he says. Sheep that have been scattered. Scattered. Human beings, all human beings, are lost from God. Lost from heaven. Lost from eternal life. They're lost. That's something we know, I think, that's aggressively denied by the world. No, we are not lost. We are in charge. We are in charge. We're looking. We're in control. We're going forward. Not lost. That's a pathetic argument. And yet, friends, we know so very well that nothing is more obvious, for example, in history or in the common, the present world in which we live, the mess of it, the ugliness of it, the collapse of nations, all that's happening. It's horrible. Every night as we hear the news, they're almost all horrible things. Human beings are lost. And the Bible tells us that they know they're lost. It haunts them, every human heart and conscience. Everywhere in Scripture, they're lost. They're separated from God. And they're lost because of sin. In a good commentary by John Taylor, he says about this passage, a remarkable foreshadowing of the parable of the lost sheep from Luke 15, which our Lord doubtless based on this passage. The lost sheep. Our Lord knew Ezekiel 34. Sheep that are lost. Yes, we're lost. The sheep is an animal which is particularly pitiable when he's lost. He's unusually helpless. He's vulnerable. A lost sheep is in a wretched, desperate condition. Ezekiel says that in verse 5. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all beasts. And by ourselves, we can never find a shepherd. We can never find our shepherd. He must search for us in love and in pity. This is at the heart, friends, of the Reformed faith. The sovereignty of God in salvation. It's his plan. It's his doing, his accomplishing, his bringing about. If we were left to ourselves, we could never understand our guilt. Never. We could never understand a Savior, who he might be and what he might do. We would never in ourselves repent. In ourselves, we could never really believe. He must enable us. John 6:44, our Lord says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to me. No one, anytime, ever, can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. Paul puts it this way in Romans 9:16. It depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. I will seek out my sheep. I will seek out my sheep. We're lost. And this is how God replies. I will seek out my sheep. Friends, this should make us filled in our prayers with gratitude and with worship. You and I are here today because of the love of God. And he did it through his beloved Son on the cross. That was his love. That was his kindness. That's how he sought us out. The sheep are lost. But then secondly, for a few moments, let us think on the fact that the sheep are his. The sheep that are his. Why do I say that? Because if we look at the whole passage, it's clear that this shepherd is not just seeking any sheep. The personal pronoun in Hebrew, my, occurs 7 or 8 times about sheep in verses 6 to 10. Listen to it, verses 6 to 10. My sheep were scattered. My sheep were scattered. My sheep have become prey. My sheep have become food. My shepherds have not searched for my sheep, have not fed my sheep. I will require my sheep at their hand. I will rescue my sheep. That's God the Father. My sheep. My sheep. That's what he thinks of his people. So he loves us. So he cares for us. It's for he wants us. My sheep. The text says as the shepherd seeks out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them. The sheep are his. This, friends, is the doctrine of election. It is disliked by many people. It's thought of as cold or abstract by others. But, friends, it's wonderfully warm and reassuring. God, in eternity, long before creation, set his love upon a huge number of people, named them, saw them. They were his. He set them apart in his special sense. He decreed that they would be brought to heaven through the Son and the Spirit, and they would live with him in the new world forever. My sheep. My sheep, his people, his people. The Lord Jesus echoes this passage again, not only in Luke, which we were thinking of, but in John 10:26 following. Listen to our Lord. You do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's what the Lord thinks of all his people, my sheep, whom the Father has given to me. This passionate commitment from the Lord. This sense of ownership. They're mine. Not just by creation, but by redemption, by choice. This is behind God's searching. Supposing you were out on a beach searching for a lost wallet. How intense would you be in searching? Well, if it was the wallet of a friend of yours, you would search quite a bit. If it was your wallet, you'd search a lot longer and a lot more deeply and a lot more passionately. Supposing a child is misbehaving, we're not pleased at that. We don't like seeing it. But if it's my child, I'm suddenly much, much more involved. We're his sheep. We're his sheep. God can never contemplate our being lost with indifference, because he has chosen us. He has decreed concerning us. He's bought us. He knows us each one. It's sometimes claimed that election stifles evangelism. Certainly there are groups, for example, in the southern states of Scotland, of America, some groups, that would push this very strongly, very much against election. It's against evangelism. The reverse is the case. Remember Paul and Barnabas in Pisidian Antioch, Acts 13:48. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. As many who were chosen, as many who were predestined, as many who were elected, as many who were appointed to eternal life believed. And we get it from the Lord speaking to Paul in Corinth in Acts 18:9 following. He says to Paul, Paul's discouraged. Paul's downhearted. He says to Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. Live with those words. That's what God says when he looks to Newton Abbey, or where you live. I have many who are my people. Not yet, but they will come. They will be. It should make us hopeful. No matter how discouraging the circumstances around us may be, no matter how hard and indifferent people may seem, but there are those in this community and in every community who are Christ's sheep. And he's not apathetic or neutral towards them. Friends, the Lord is far more committed to their salvation than any of us could ever be. In evangelism, we're engaging in something close to the heart of the Lord Jesus. In evangelism, when you knock on the door, when you speak to the person, when you hand them something, oh, the Lord in heaven is looking down with joy, with joy. Yes, yes. So will I seek out my sheep. It brings us, thirdly, to the sheep will be found. The sheep are lost. The sheep are his. And lastly, the sheep will be found. Often, we don't find what we're looking for, no matter how earnestly we search. I'll repeat that because I'm going to give you a brilliant illustration. Often, we don't find what we're looking for, no matter how earnestly we search. And in my original notes of this sermon, which was preached a long time ago, I have put in the brackets, compare Flora Miller's diamond. What does that mean? I don't know. I wrote to a friend in America yesterday, who's going to be the next president of the Theological College, and asked him had he ever heard of Flora Miller's diamond. He didn't know. Some other friends I've spoken to, nobody knows, but I'd written it down. I knew until I was damaged up here. Sometimes we don't find what we're looking for. Is that what Christ the shepherd is like? That's a view that's commonly held by Arminianism. Jesus wants to save, but he can't. We won't let him. No, one commentator says, his job will be to find the straying, to rescue the lost, to feed and tend the whole flock, giving particular attention to the weak and ailing members. Is the good shepherd ever frustrated, as people like to say? Luke 15:4. Having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, he does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. Wonderful at the end of it. Until he finds it. John 10:16. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Or the verses that I'm sure some of you have been thinking of. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it on the last day. Wonderful. This shepherd always finds every sheep. He loses nothing. And more than that, he knows every sheep by name. He knows where it is, no matter how far away it is. He knows how to reach it. I know them, and they follow me, he says. And friends, he seeks in many different ways. In every Christian home, the shepherd's there, seeking sheep. And as sheep are born, and as sheep are brought to him, he's seeking his sheep. Anybody who reads the Word of God, sometimes that Word will speak to them. That's the shepherd seeking the sheep. A conscience is troubled. A friend speaks to you about the Lord. Providence happens in your life and makes you start thinking about God. The list is endless, but the result is the same. He finds out the sheep. As he says in our text, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been gathered. And at the end, as God's sheep come together in glory, there'll not be one missing. They'll all be there. Friends, it should make us active. For as the Church of Christ, we are usually how the Lord Jesus seeks his sheep in the world. Usually. He seeks them in many other ways. But he works in the church. His task, our task, can seem discouraging. But ultimately, it's always successful. Every sheep of Christ in this community will be found, either by us or by someone else. Every one of them. Everyone in Great Britain. Everyone in America. North America. South America. Anyone. Everyone in the world. Everyone in Peru. Everyone. Everyone who's lost but redeemed by Christ will be found. And friends, this teaches us to be persevering. Go after the one that is lost until he finds it. As parents, as Sabbath school teachers, as friends, as contacts, always be looking, always be searching, always be seeking to be used to bring people to Christ. It's a thrilling prospect. My friend, which of Christ's sheep have you been meant to find? And in glory, we'd stand there and pray God our children and our grandchildren stand there they'll say, I was found through Christ through them. And on it will go. We're here today. We're a gathering of God's sheep. We were once lost, but he knew us, and he missed us, and he longed for us, and he sought us out, and he found it. I am a good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Friends, are we willing to walk with our shepherd and lay down our lives for his sheep? May our Lord honor it. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, how we thank you that in your glorious presence, before the universe was created, you, Father, Son, and Spirit came together. The people of the Son were chosen, and it was ordained that we be redeemed and brought into the presence of God. Father, we thank you for this. And we thank you for the certainty which you give us that everyone whom you have chosen will be brought to faith, and that in every community there are those whom you have chosen. So help us, O God, to be like under-shepherds and seek the sheep that are lost, and help the sheep that are wounded, broken, struggling. Lift them in our arms. Give them the medicine. See that they're healed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.